You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Today, the United States Supreme Court is going to hear oral arguments about a case involving a man connected here in Michigan, and it'll help define what the future of immigration and criminality will be. What are the intersections between immigration and crime? That is not a clearly defined sort of point of law and norm here in the United States, and is a place where there is a lot of change. Here to explain the crux of the case being argued today is Sandra Sloboda, who spoke with one of the lawyers who's representing the defendant in the case. She is the special assignments manager here at WDET. Sandy, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, so first tell me about this case.
Well, this is a classic case of what legal circles label crimmigration. Like you said, that convergence of criminal law and the immigration system that don't always neatly fit together. Criminal law is largely the purview of the states. There is a federal criminal justice system, but by and large, the overwhelming majority of crimes in this country are adjudicated through a state system, a criminal system. Immigration law, on the other hand, is a federal construct and not necessarily it's not part of the criminal system. It's kind of its own thing with a setup of courts and adjudication process that have judges or magistrates and hear immigration-related cases. And sometimes these two are intertwined.
Yeah. And this idea of crimmigration, there's a book about this subject.
There is. It's called Crimmigration Law, oddly enough, a pretty straightforward title. And it's written by a University of Denver law professor. And actually, if you go to WDET.org, in our story about this case, he's quoted, and then there's an interview, full interview with him that I did and some of the other lawyers involved with the issue. But the case that the Supreme Court is hearing today involves a man who moved to Michigan. He immigrated to California from Mexico when he was about 12 with his family, legally. Everyone always had permission to be here and working. The family worked in farm fields, and much of the family moved to Michigan, lives in southeast Michigan. Meanwhile, Juan Esquivel Quintana, when he was 20, was dating a woman who was 16. And in California, unlike most states, including Michigan, the age of consent is 18. Mm-hmm. And so he was prosecuted, did no contest in that regard. Now, immigration law provides for removal of aggravated felonies. And so, but it doesn't specifically say involvement with a minor, someone under the age of consent. It says sexual abuse of a minor.
Yeah.
Well, the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, here's where we get a little bit wonky, but follow along. The Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, which is the court that just overturned the executive order on immigration.
Yeah.
The court years ago said, under this particular California statute with the age of consent, that will not be considered sexual abuse of a minor in this jurisdiction.
Right.
Well, unbeknownst, none of this was known to Mr. Esquivel Quintana, but he moved to Michigan. And when he did, ICE agents, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, picked him up. And there was a deportation order issued, and he was sent back to Mexico. And so during that process, an attorney from Ann Arbor named Mike Carlin met him and appealed his case. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, which rules Michigan, said that is a deportable offense.
Yeah.
And so Mike Carlin appealed to the Supreme Court, and they had those competing rulings, and they took the case.
And I feel like this is the kind of issue that we're going to see come up a couple times over the next couple of years in the Supreme Court, as this more aggressive stance on immigration reaches further and further into that realm of minor crime, or attempts to.
And let's be clear, this has really little to do with the Trump administration. This case started under the Obama administration.
Long time ago, right.
And the issue of crimmigration, the adding to the number of crimes that become deportable offenses, started decades ago.
Yes.
And in the book and in the history of this, the issue of crimmigration, as we merge it together, really, it ties in with the war on drugs and the targeting of minorities and immigrants within that. And also, of course, the war on terror. I'm making air quotes, but
sure.
The war on terror, the war on drugs, have linked issues of immigration with criminality in this country.
Right. And there is a general sort of trend of criminalization of more minor activity in this country. I mean, and that is one of the things that we see as the drivers in the what they call the the prison industrial complex or things like that.
Right. And it happens at all jurisdictional levels, right? Like I said earlier, the criminal justice system is largely happening at the state and even local levels. I mean, yes. You see, lawyers in Southeast Michigan will tell you that and police will tell you that they have different standards for seeking warrants in some of the same crimes between different counties. So now, you know, all the way down to that local level and reaching up to the federal level, things are in conflict. It's not just the language that's in the laws written for immigration or written for state criminal justice, but it really has this direct impact on people in our communities.
And on people's lives, yes. All right, Sandra Sobota, Special Assignments Manager here at WDET. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us today. Detroit Today is produced by Laura Weber Davis and Jake Neer. Our program director is Joan Isabella. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. Associate producers are Addie Wallace and Aaron Allen. And the Detroit Today theme song was composed by WDET's Sam Bobian. I'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will too. This is 101.9 WDET, Detroit's public radio station. See you tomorrow.